The Steelers' offense is impotent, just like Nicki Minaj's cousin who got the Pfizer vaccine. The Steelers' offense has rushed for the fourth fewest amount of yards through two games since the merger. They're 24th in the league in points per game, aided by their blocked punt. They're 30th in yards per rush attempt. They're 31st in rushing yards per game. They're 20th in yards per pass attempt. The line is too young. The quarterback is too old. And the playbook is apparently written in Swahili because Canada is only calling his stuff, the quote-unquote Canada offense, a little bit. It looks an awful lot like 2020, doesn't it? Steelers fans, there's no way to fix this. You can start to run the ball a little bit better. It doesn't mean that your offensive line is any less inexperienced. You can start to pass block a little bit better. It doesn't mean that your quarterback isn't any less than 39. Ben Roethlisberger's got a pectoral injury. That's both good news and bad news. Good news because, well, Ben knows he's got a pec. The bad news is that he's hurt and it took 5 quarters for him to get hurt. Ben Roethlisberger is made out of Bush Light and chicken wings, but there is a pec muscle under there somewhere. We do have that information. But who had the over-under on 5 quarters before this dude got hurt? And it's just as much about his age as it is about the offensive line. But Ben's got to play. And I would have said in years past that if Ben isn't 100%, then you let Landry Jones play, or you let Mason Rudolph play, or you let Dwayne Haskins play. But I can't say that this year because they can't afford for him not to get reps. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays. The offense is a work in progress, the same way trying to get your uncle to get the COVID vaccine is. You got to keep plugging away. Ben Roethlisberger needs to play, not just because he gives the Steelers the best chance to win this week, but because he needs to keep repping the offense. 412-333-9939. Tweet me at underscore Adam Crowley. Yesterday was the first day of fall, so we got a bunch of rain and a tornado warning. Mother Nature is a huge bitch. TJ Watt, Joe Hayden, Devin Bush, Alex Highsmith all have those groin injuries. Hayden, Watt, and Bush all practiced in some capacity yesterday. Likewise for all three, as I mentioned before today, there's a shot that they're each going to play. I don't think Alex Highsmith's going to play. And we saw the Steelers defense when it was a buzzsaw in week number one, and it was because they were able to rotate those outside backers. I think less is more, at least right now with Melvin Ingram. And probably, to an extent, Alex Highsmith, too. Because Ingram has shown that he can play at a high level. I just don't know that a guy like him, coming off his injuries at his age, 32 years old, can maintain that for a full game if he's playing 90% of the snaps. I also know that the Steelers are in a better position to play without an outside linebacker than they have been in a very, very long time. But they need to get healthy there. Because Melvin Ingram is as good as he is in terms of this rotation. If you can rotate him, that's when he's at his best. Speaking of outside linebackers, James Harrison's A Football Life will air tomorrow on the NFL Network. James Harrison's an ass. His time with the Steelers ended in a brutal divorce, but his time with the Steelers was largely magical. That's why he's the perfect subject for NFL films to dive into. Now, I'll be honest, because I always am, I didn't like James Harrison personally, and I had many interactions with him in the Steelers locker room. I still think he belongs in the team's Hall of Honor. He was the most feared player in the entirety of the National Football League for about 3 years, because not only would he come off the edge and F your quarterback in the A, what's up, Joe Flacco, he would also take dudes' heads off like Muhammad Massaquai, and he was as dirty a player as there was in the league at a time where you still were sort of allowed to be dirty until he made it so you couldn't be. He had maybe the biggest play in Super Bowl history, certainly the most miraculous. So I look forward to DVRing that tomorrow and then never watching it. Probably watch porn instead. Deontay Johnson might not play on Sunday. As I mentioned before, he did not practice today. He's going to lead the Steelers in targets this year if he's healthy. That makes him the number one wide receiver. Why in the piss was that guy catching the football on the final play of a two-score game on Sunday? And Charlie Batch was on the Steelers post-game show with Stan Saverin defending it because, oh, you got to give Deontay Johnson his stats. You got to make sure Deontay Johnson's happy. Deontay effing Johnson. Who the hell is Deontay effing Johnson to be demanding to get an extra 15 yards at the end of a game when the dude's been hurt each of his first 2 years he's been a Pittsburgh Steeler? Nah, F off all the way with that nonsense. Gotta get him his stats. He's Deontay Johnson. Gotta help that guy out. And I like Charlie, but I think that is ludicrous. And if that is the mindset that the Steelers have within that dressing room, that you got to get that guy the stats, that is a fundamental philosophical problem that the Steelers had from the top on down. Now, if it's just, hey, we need to kill the clock and we don't want to kneel on it because we don't want to surrender that way. We already surrendered when we punted on 4th-and-1. Okay, fine. Throw the ball to Ray McLeod. Throw the ball to James Washington. I'm sure James Washington's dad doesn't want James Washington to get hurt, but I'm not sure anybody else cares. But Deontay Johnson, if they're going to move the ball ever again, they need that guy. Does he not fit the bill for somebody you can get out in space and you can utilize him in the RPO game that Matt Canada is so famous for, and you can utilize him on end arounds? Well, you can't now because he's hurt, because Charlie Batch says he needed to get his stats. Got to get your stats. Got to get your stats. You know, when Antonio Brown was going 5 for 50, I thought it was a travesty back then that they're throwing the ball against Jacksonville instead of running the clock out. But at least you had a legitimate head case that was the best player, maybe pound for pound in the league. And if you have to kowtow to somebody, at least do it to the guy that you know is going to put up 200 yards next week against Denver. Don't do it for Deontay Johnson, who's in year number 3, and he ain't broken 1,000 receiving yards yet. Got to get him his stats. It's ridiculous. Christ, it's Thursday. I'm all hot and I'm sweating. I'm so mad about Deontay Johnson being out there. Their number one receiver. And he's playing at the end of a game that doesn't mean jack. And where's the logic in it? Ben, throw the ball out of bounds. Ben, trip, fall, go down. Take a knee. You know what? You punt the ball on 4th-and-1. Take a knee. If you punt the ball on 4th-and-1, the white flag's going up anyway. Hey, Raiders, we quit. We surrender. Well, how about kneel the ball at the end of the game then? Kneel it or throw it to James Washington or throw it to Ray McLeod. Do they have any other wide receivers on the roster? Throw it to that guy, but don't throw it to Deontay Johnson. My apologies. A little fired up there. 412-333-9939. Bring a fan in. Throw them the ball. Pitt football lost to Western Michigan in front of 12 people on Saturday. West Virginia beat Virginia Tech in front of 60,000 people. You had Penn State pack the house, 110,000 white-clad people. How are you going to get people to go to Pitt when the two closest Power 5 schools put that on Saturday? And let's make this clear. I'm a WVU guy. Their atmosphere was great. What Penn State's doing is second to none. Why would you go to Pitt if it's a beautiful Saturday, no one shows up, and a MAC school puts 44 on your ass? Now, I realize it's a Steelers week, and the Penguins open up training camp today, so I'm going to make this brief. But it's my only show of the week, filling in for Mr. Madden, and I wasn't here yesterday. Pat Narduzzi needs to be shot into the sun. He won 8 games his first year. He went 6-5 last year. It's his 7th season. They're giving up 30 points a game in his tenure, and he lost to a MAC school when he scored 41. Bye-bye, see ya, you blowhard. As I mentioned, Penguins open up training camp today. No Crosby, Malkin, Tanev, McCann. Cody Ceci is gone. RIP. But if you want to watch a 6'7" guy who can skate, they've invited Brian Boyle on a PTO. And Josh Yowie just told us when he was here that he's probably going to make the team. Rob Rossi, from the same church, he says Brian Boyle, unless he gets hurt, is going to make the team. So things are good. Here's what the Penguins are going to look like down the middle when the season starts against Tampa, of all teams. You got Jeff Carter, Teddy Bluger, Raheem Zahorna, Radim Zahorna. Doesn't matter how you pronounce it. That's your third line center. And your fourth line center going to be Brian Boyle. Just don't dig too big a hole you can't climb out of. That's my fear. Oh, yeah, by the way, Tristan Jarry got new pads. So he's not going to make saves, but at least he'll look good while he's not making them. 412-333-9939. Tweet me at underscore Adam Crowley. Up next, there's a question people are asking about the Steelers offense, and that question is flawed. Crowley, in for Madden, 105.9.
Mattress Warehouse, sleephappens.com.
This report is sponsored by Levin Furniture and Mattress. In Pittsburgh.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
DX at 105.9.
Crowley in for Madden. I'm excited about hockey season, despite the fact that Crosby's going to be out for a little while and Malkin's going to miss at least 2 months. Got the Olympics coming up, too. I realize that's not until February, but when Yowie was in here, we were kibitzing a little bit, talking about what could potentially be the United States hockey team. And Mike Brasuda, like a bat signal got thrown up, sprints in here, all hot and bothered, ready to talk about Mike Sullivan and Todd Reardon's boys. So even if the Penguins fall a bit short of any type of expectations this year, at least you got Team USA, baby. And that does get the blood pumping down low. The question, what's wrong with the Steelers' offense, is flawed, I think. Because it implies that there's an answer. That there's one answer. That there's one problem above the rest. The reality is that the Steelers' offense has all problems and no solutions. The Steelers' offensive line hasn't been good at run blocking or pass blocking. I heard this statistic the other day. Shirtless Tom, producer, gave it last night on our night show, Countdown to Kickoff on ESPN Pittsburgh, that the Steelers, when they're running the ball from under center, they average almost 4 yards a carry. When they're running the ball from shotgun, it's like 2 yards per carry. So that's obviously a big difference. What hurts you, though, is that their best that they have to offer is only 4 yards a carry. So they can't run block. They can't pass block. Like, think about what happened, the dichotomy of these first two games. Game number one against the Bills, Ben gets rid of the ball faster than any quarterback in football by average snap to release. I try not to think about snap to release too often. It reminds me of my sex life. But Ben Roethlisberger got the ball out of his hand faster than anybody in the sport. And he didn't get hit very much, but the offense, well, it was bad. Week number two, Steelers feel like they can take advantage of something that the Raiders are doing defensively. And so Ben actually was middle of the pack in terms of snap to release, getting the ball out of his hand. Still got it out pretty quickly, but middle of the pack. They took more deep shots down the field. Didn't connect on enough of them, but took more deep shots. So we saw the philosophy change from 1 week to the next. Well, Ben took way too many hits in this last game, and the offense was still awful. So it doesn't matter how the ball comes out of Ben's hand. Quick passes, deep passes, hold on to a little bit longer, pat the ball. Whatever they're doing ain't working. There was one thing that they did that did work. They had a five-play, 75-yard drive. It started with Ben Roethlisberger's fake toss. Then he waggles out to the right, short pass. And it ends with Juju Smith-Schuster on the end-around scoring a touchdown. Both of those, they sound very Matt Canada-like, do they not? You also had an end-around with Chase Claypool, got stopped for a three-yard loss. But that whole drive was Matt Canada. Why in God's name can they not run more of that? If Pitt could figure it out, a bunch of college students could have Matt Canada come in, and in year one, they're putting up more points per game than any Pitt football team in history. You can't have the Pittsburgh friggin' Steelers and a quarterback who's been around for 20 years figure it out? If that's the case, something's being lost somewhere. Ben's just not trying hard enough. He's not working hard enough to pick it up. What, the receivers are too dumb? The offensive line's too young, can't figure it out? If he's the offensive coordinator, run the freaking offense. Because in order to get the run game going, you need to dress that shiz up. It can't be five guys and a tight end running it out of shotgun. You ain't getting any movement. And behind center, under center, handing the ball to the running back with a head of steam, it's working a little bit. So how about you try more of that? You score on an end around. How about you try more of that? More motion. More five guys in motion at the snap. And that's what we saw happen on that Juju touchdown. The offense ain't going to be good because there's too many problems. That's why the question's flawed. Well, what do the Steelers need to fix on offense? It implies one answer. They got to fix everything. But at least dress it up a little bit, because if this offense is mediocre, they've got a chance to make the playoffs. If this offense is below average, and it is right now, 24th in the league in scoring, they ain't got a prayer to make the playoffs, because the defense needs to be perfect. And it's not just play perfect, but you got to stay healthy. And that's not the way the sport works. Like, the reason why I'm worried about the Penguins this year is, yes, because Crosby and Malkin aren't going to be there at the beginning. What happens when the next guy gets hurt? What happens when Bluger goes down? What happens if, God forbid, bless yourself, grab your rosary, Jeff Carter goes down? You know, Mike Sullivan and Mike Tomlin have this in common. They get the most out of teams when they're facing injuries and their back's against the wall. But the standard can only be the standard so long. You can only take on so much water. There's a reason why you pay Crosby and you pay Malkin. There's a reason why you want them around. There's a reason why you pay TJ Watt. You need those guys to be healthy. But if the Steelers' offense is going to be as bad as it is, you can't have a guy go down for a Sunday or you're effed. Because you need every last sack that TJ Watt can give you. You need every last stop that this defense can get you. What do you think about the Bengals? I don't have a good read on this game. Steelers favored by 3 at home. It's basically a pick 'em. We'll talk to James Rapien of Sports Illustrated. He covers the Bengals for that outlet coming up next. Crowley, in for Madden 105.9.
iHeartRadio brings you Global Citizen Live, a moment heard around the world. This Saturday, the biggest artists on the planet unite with world leaders to
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Man. Yeah, what you said.
The X at 105.9.
Crowley in for Madden. Looks like Joe Hayden's going to play on Sunday. Looks like Devin Bush is going to play on Sunday. TJ Watt, I think the Steelers are cautiously optimistic about. Of course, they'll be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Joining us now to discuss the Bengals, from SI Now in Cincinnati. He is James Rapien. James, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today, man.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Check out James on Twitter, at James Rapien, R-A-P-I-E-N. James, Joe Burrow is back. He threw a pick on three straight plays on Sunday, but how has he looked overall, and how has he looked compared to maybe what you thought he would be coming into the year?
Overall, I think he's looked solid, right? And it just, there's so much context that comes along with that because of the injury. And you're not talking just an ACL. It's an ACL, MCL, and PCL, partially torn PCL, that he's recovering from and coming back from. That combined with three preseason snaps, and to be honest, Adam, I don't even count those because it was really just a, I don't even know what it was. It was much less than a practice that he goes through. I don't know why they did it, if that was what they were going to do. And so you're seeing some growing pains, right? You mentioned the three interceptions. I think that certainly two poor throws by Burrow are poor decisions, but there are things that go along with that, right? The schematic approach, or the scheme in general that Zach Taylor is running, to me, especially the second interception to T. Higgins last week, the cornerback's just sitting on the route, and they needed to throw the ball downfield, and that's what the Bears are doing. They're like, yeah, we're going to get after you because your offensive line can't block us, or your protection issues that you're having, you're not going to be able to stop us. So we're just going to sit on every route and see if you test us downfield. And the Bengals waited too late in the game to do that. But overall, I think Burrow, he looks 100% from a health standpoint. I still think he's feeling things out as a playmaker. And that's just going to come with game reps. And that's why I would have, going back to the preseason, that's why I would have played him. Because now when you get to week three against Pittsburgh, he's not still working out some of those kinks that just come along with playing after you're coming back from a serious injury.
Joe Mixon has nearly 50 carries through two games. Is there more of a concerted effort to give him the ball this year as a way to protect the franchise quarterback?
For sure. I don't think it's necessarily just protect Burrow. It's to have a more balanced offense. And not only that, again, it's because they paid Joe Mixon a lot of money and agreed, brought him in and extended him for a four-year, $48 million deal. When you do that, they're banking on him to be maybe not the best playmaker on offense, but maybe the best playmaker on offense. The only way he's going to be able to do that is if he gets the ball and Zach Taylor puts him in a position to succeed and maximize his talents. So they were able to really get him going week one against the Vikings, not so much last week against the Bears. They were close on a couple of runs looking back where, you know, it was just a half a step one way or another, or, you know, a half a block if a tight end chips. You know, he breaks one, and instead they were unable to do so and get a big run out of it. But overall, yeah, I think you're going to try to see, or they're going to try to establish the run on Sunday against the Steelers. And, you know, Mixon has had some success in the past against Pittsburgh, so we'll see if he can keep it going this weekend.
I said this last week. We do a preview show on Wednesdays on ESPN Pittsburgh. I said that I thought that Vegas was going to be a tough matchup for Pittsburgh, stylistically tougher than Buffalo because, you know, through three quarters, Buffalo just wants to throw the ball 80% of the time. But the Raiders are going to try to run the ball. I think the best way to handle the Steelers' defense when healthy is to keep them off balance, and I think Cincinnati's going to have a chance to be able to do that. James, you probably thought you'd be done talking about this, but I have to ask the question anyhow. Were you a Penei Sewell guy or a Ja'Marr Chase guy?
Ja'Marr Chase, and I think they got it right, and he set a Bengals record in week one for most receiving yards by a rookie in his debut. If he catches a touchdown on Sunday against the Steelers, he'll break A.J. Green's record. I know it's only two games, but how many rookies have touchdowns in the first two games? So, no, I think it was right. But I get what you're getting at, Adam, so I'll just dive into it. They didn't spend enough money and address the offensive line the way they should have in free agency. Because back in March, they knew they were going to take Chase. Maybe we didn't, but they did. And even before the pro day, right, they're like, yeah, well, if he checks the boxes at the pro day, we're probably taking him. Like, they've done all their research. They've done all the digging. It's not like they're, you know, in Cleveland for the draft. Like, I don't know what we're going to do at number five. They've known for a while. And so if that was the case, why not spend more in free agency and get, a Riley Reiff at right tackle, which has worked out well. But then you find that savvy veteran at guard as well, where, yeah, you might not be paying Joe Tooney you know, $15 million per, but you find a $7 million a year type guard, a Matt Filer, right? That was a guy that you guys are familiar with. He goes to the Chargers. It was someone I talked about a ton leading up to free agency. So I think that's where they whiffed. It's easy to point to the draft, and I understand it. I do, because Penei Sewell does look really good as well. But I think I was fine with Chase, you know, and I am fine with Chase. It's just the fact that they didn't do enough in free agency. And if you were going to take Chase, that was probably the route you were going to go. And by the way, if they had drafted Sewell, I wouldn't have been shocked at all if he was a guard on Sunday against the Steelers, because they really do believe in Riley Reiff and Jonah Williams at the tackle spots.
One thing is for certain, we are not going to see outstanding offensive line play, I do not think, on Sunday. James Rapien joining me, Adam Crowley filling in for Mark Madden here on 105.9 The X. Let's talk about Chase a little bit more, though, because like you mentioned, he scored a touchdown in each of the first two games. How has he looked, and how can they get better, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase? Because I think they're going to be giving Steelers fans nightmares for a long time.
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy roller coaster with Chase. I think he's one of these elite talents, but he had taken that time off, and up until that week one matchup, he hadn't played a game that mattered since January 13th, I believe it was, 2020. And so he gets off to a slow start in training camp and has some drops and isn't shining bright. And Joe Burrow, throughout that process, to us on the record, and I will say behind the scenes, never lost confidence, never flinched, never blinked, wasn't worried. The three drops in preseason week two, the drop week three, Joe Burrow's only preseason pass, which was just a quick screen. And he was just unflappable, just like, no, Ja'Marr's going to be fine. We'll be fine. It's going to be fine. And it was. And you know, whatever clicked, I don't know what changed, what it was, but, you know, I think that they can be one heck of a duo. And Adam, I will say this, I went back and watched the All-22, which is really hard to find now suddenly because, you know, America, NFL Game Pass. But anyways, Chase got plenty of separation last week against the Bears. And I think they'll see that and say, all right, we need to feature him even more than we have over the past couple weeks. So, you know, we'll see, because I think the Steelers, they're going to see that as well. And try to make sure that Chase isn't breaking that Bengals record and scoring in a third straight game.
Well, I think the Steelers have some problems in the secondary. They were outstanding week number one, but you lose Joe Hayden, and then all of a sudden he's almost the straw that stirs the drink, and there's a ripple effect there. He's expected to play on Sunday, but is he going to be at 100%? And after that, the Steelers are still trying to figure out, because Mike Hilton's not here, who's going to take the slot, and that means to me that Tyler Boyd could potentially feast. I mean, Cincinnati's got a great, it appears, a stable of weapons. Is T. Higgins expected to play in this game?
If I had to lean one way or the other, I would still say yes, even though he hasn't practiced the past 2 days. He returned to the game on Sunday. So unless he had some major setback, right, and he was working. I saw him on the sideline, and I posted video of him at allbengals.com. If the Steelers fans want to check that out, I doubt they do. But either way, he was catching passes and going through drills today. So I think what this is more, let's leave him out 2 days. We'll get him through the walkthrough Friday, and hopefully he's able to go. And maybe he's a game-time decision type situation. But if I had to guess, I would still say he plays, just because I saw him working out. He was looking pretty good. And what we've seen from Zach Taylor, he's not, you know, like Marvin Lewis, like some of these old school coaches where, hey, if you don't practice, you're not playing. It's the other way. It's, hey, make sure you're as close to 100% as possible. And so if we have to hold you out of practice to get you there, we will do that. So I think that's the case. But, you know, you never know what happens with these type of injuries. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he does miss a week, but I lean toward him playing.
James Rapien, SI Now, covers the Bengals and the NFL for that outlet. Check him out on Twitter, at James Rapien. The defense, from an outsider's perspective, looks like it's been pretty good this year. What has been the straw there through the first two games?
Interior pressure. Pressure up the middle has been such a key for them, because they made Kirk Cousins uncomfortable early week one. And they were certainly able to do some of that same stuff last week against Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. And so that starts with DJ Reader, a guy they paid big money to. They made him the highest paid nose tackle in the NFL last offseason. He only played five games, flashed some, but but when you only play five games and you don't have any preseason at all coming off of a, you know, COVID year, you're going to get off to a bit of a slow start. There hasn't been a slow start for Reader this year. He looks all, you know, well worth what they paid him. And then after that, you know, they go get a guy that Steelers fans are familiar with, Larry Ogunjobi from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They signed him to a one-year deal, and he's playing really well at that three-tech spot. And then they traded Billy Price for B.J. Hill right before the start of the regular season, and he had two sacks in week one and has been a big part of that interior. So they have quality depth on the interior, and that's where most of their pressures have come from. But, you know, they went out and they got Trey Hendrickson, and they signed Sam Hubbard to an extension. And overall, I think that the defensive line is just in a much better spot than it's been in recent years, and there's just more depth to it. And then you mentioned Mike Hilton. I think he, along with Chidobe Awuzie, they've brought just a veteran leadership and presence. And, you know, they want to make plays. Awuzie made Ja'Marr Chase's life hell during camp as he was getting used to life in the NFL. It was really tough on Chase early, and that's translated. He gave up a touchdown to Allen Robinson last week, but, you know, it was an 11-yard slant. And outside of that, but, you know, there hasn't been much. And he's been, you know, playing relatively well against really good receivers. Robinson this past week, and before that, it was Justin Jefferson who he was lined up against. So the one, I guess, weakness that I think the Steelers will target if Trey Waynes doesn't play, and he returned to practice today, so we'll see if he plays on Sunday, but is Eli Apple, the second outside corner. So if the Steelers, if they're going to target and attack anyone, I think they'll try to go after Eli Apple if Trey Waynes is out again. And he signed last offseason as well, and he hasn't played a game yet. He missed all of last year with the pec injury, missed the first two games of this year with a hamstring injury. So we'll see if he can get out there on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know that the Steelers should go into the game trying to target anyone. Maybe just complete a forward pass longer than 20 yards. That might be something that the Steelers should work on. What's your feel in this game for who's going to come out victorious, James? Because, you know, Vegas has the Steelers at home only favored by 3. I mean, the Steelers' offense is just dreadful.
Yeah, and I get that. I understand. I think that line started at like 5.
Yeah.
Obviously been bet down. That being said, Zach Taylor, I'll just give you a couple stats here, is 1-15-1 on the road. I know he beat Pittsburgh last year in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, but you know as well as I do that Pittsburgh team, just something was off. And while something might still be off with them, I need to see it before I'm buying Zach Taylor's going to go on the road to Heinz Field and beat Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin specifically, out-coach Mike Tomlin. You know, and I know he takes his fair share of heat up there, but again, 1-15-1 on the road. The Bengals haven't beat the Steelers at Heinz Field since 2015. So until they do it, whether it's fair or not, I'm leaning towards Pittsburgh. And, you know, they have the talent to do it. I'm not saying they're not as talented. I actually think Burrow, even coming off the ACL, is capable of, you know, being the better quarterback in this matchup. I think that's pretty, you know, realistic. The offensive lines, you're right, they're comparable. I would still give the edge to the Steelers defense, but it's comparable. But, you know, coaching wise, I still lean towards Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, but you know, Zach Taylor and company, they could prove me wrong on Sunday.
James, always appreciate talking to you. Love your work, man. So thank you for coming on.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me. And are you going to be at the game Sunday by chance?
I will not. They don't let me that close. I do this stuff from the studio. They don't want me there.
Gotcha. Okay. I was going to say we should say hi, but, you know, next time. Next time I'll see you for sure.
Next time, buddy. Appreciate it again. Take care now.
See ya.
That's James Rapien. Check him out on Twitter if you're looking for a good AFC North follow, at James Rapien, R-A-P-I-E-N. He didn't do this, and I respect him for it. But there's something that a bunch of people outside of Pittsburgh and in the national media do as it relates to Ben that drives me crazy. I'll tell you what that is next. Crowley, in for Madden, wrapping things up, 105.9.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with GEICO, we hired a Shakespearean actor.
Oh, woe is me. Wherefore are thy claims held when I hadst a fender bender?
The robe, the hair, the woo!
The X at 105.9.
Got roughly 4 minutes left. I'm going to be a home alone tonight. Wife's going out. What should I do? 412-333-9939. Clean suggestions only. Unless you're funny. 412-333-9939. Tom's wiping the sweat off his brow because he's like, come on, I don't want to answer phones in the final 4 minutes. There's something that James didn't do in the last segment that a lot of non-Pittsburgh media and national media folks do when talking about Ben. Like, everyone knows Roethlisberger's not what he once was, but the national media is all, Ben sucks. He can't throw the ball down the field. This guy blows. First of all, he ain't as bad as the national folk make him out to be. He's not good, don't get me wrong. But he's not as bad as they make him out to be. But let's make this perfectly clear. If Ben sucks, let's operate that premise is true. If Ben sucks, it's not that he sucks because he sucks. If he sucks, it's because he sucks because he's old. It's okay to say that. It's okay to throw that qualifier in there. Like there's this guy who used to work here. He's from Cincinnati. He used to be the producer of the DVE Morning Show. He hosts a show now somewhere in East Kabum, you know what. And he's always ripping Roethlisberger. And Cincinnati people are wont to do that. Oh, Ben sucks. Ben stinks. Oh, Steelers offense is going to blow because Ben sucks. He ain't had a good quarterback since Carson Palmer. And even he wasn't that good. He had a couple good years. You want to talk to guys who know about sucky quarterback play? Yeah, I guess Cincinnati's probably the place to go. But you know, Ben's a Hall of Famer. Ben has owned the state of Ohio his entire career. Ben doesn't suck. Ben's just old. And it happens to all of us. I'm home alone tonight. Chris and Plum, what should I do with my time? Hello, Chris.
Man, you got to get, on your way home, a nice filet mignon. A bottle of red wine. Take it home, have yourself a nice dinner by yourself. And let your wife know how good it tasted when she gets back.
So are you telling me to grab the meat and make it myself? Yes?
Yes.
That's a pretty good suggestion. That's tough to top. I appreciate the call. I'm not going to do the wine. Not much for wine. Not since college. I drank wine while eating Kenyan food in Morgantown, West Virginia. You tell me if that's a good idea. And I basically puked highlighter all over the bed. So wine and I are out. But I love beer. I might do that. Grab a steak, sear it on the old cast iron, throw it in the oven after that. Slam a couple of autumnal beers. Maybe a pumpkin. Maybe get a Labatt Blue Light Seltzer since they're a sponsor. Wife comes home, got a nice buzz going, belly full of filet mignon. That's not bad. My other option is to watch the Appalachian State Marshall football game or to watch Davis Mills, who's starting at quarterback for the Texans tonight, go against the Carolina Panthers. That doesn't tickle me all that much. I'm getting the filet, unless this call is good. Just punch him through, Tom. Punch him through. I need a suggestion. Caller, what do you want me to do tonight?
From a man married 36 years, clean the house. It will pay huge benefits.
Get the hell out of here. House is already clean. She did it this morning. I'm going to eat some meat, drink some beers, and then I'm going to watch some football. Madden's back tomorrow on a Friday. Hope he had fun at the concert tonight. Hope he doesn't get COVID. Got to see him next Wednesday. Steelers Bengals Sunday. Thanks for listening. Peace out.
WXDX FM, Pittsburgh. WWW.